We've had an amazing week in school this week. Have you had fun if you've been in school with us, yeah? You've had fun. You had good fun on Friday night as well. I think I lost about a stone in body weight and sweat that night. And I feel a lot thinner, a lot slender, a lot more athletic today. So we're going to have a little bit of fun now. And I figured, seeing as we got some of the guys here from the schools, that we'd kind of do a bit of LZ kind of worship music. Is that cool? You weigh in loud enough, church. Is that cool? Good job. So everybody get up on your feet. Turn to the person next to you, look at them and say, we're going to dance. Now, I'm going to introduce my friends to you right now, just before we do. This is my boy, Nana. Everybody say, hey, Nana. The lady in the group is called Nick. Everybody say, hey, Nick. Over here on the drums, you saw him. He goes by the name of Rob. Everybody say, hey, Rob. And can everyone in the place say, amazing. This song is all about how God takes us back every single time that we mess it up. You know, we talked about every time that we do something that's silly or wrong or make a bad choice, God looks at us and he says, do you know what? You got to try next time not to do it, but I still think you're amazing. So we turn back to him and say, thank you. Good job. Now, guys from the schools, you know what we've been talking about this week, haven't we? Grab your fist, punch the air, say, I have a choice. You see, the kids are teaching you how it's done, right? Everybody in River Church, grab your fist, punch the air, say, I have a choice. Look at the person next to you, say, you have a choice. Look back at me, say, we have a choice. I know it's Sunday morning, man, but that's flat. I want to hear some proper screaming as I go through this. Right now, guys in school, you know how this works. We're going to teach them how we do the choice thing, yeah, the choice thing. This is how it works, right? Boys and girls. Wait for it. Mum, you ready for this one? It's a legend, this one, Mum. You ready? My mum's gone bright red at the back there. Boys and girls are different. Clap for the white boy. You see now, I see a young man sat at the back there going, my mama told me we're all the same. Your mama's wrong, you understand that, don't you? Because boys and girls are different. Everybody say number one. Come on, school. He said number one. If a girl is in class, no, if a girl, please tell me you clean your teeth in the morning, yes? Otherwise, you never keep your husband, you'll have dog breath. You understand that, don't you, right? Be bad. So you get your toothbrush, you get your toothpaste. You sleep your toothpaste on top of your toothbrush. You stick them out into the bowl. You turn the tap on. What does the water do? Knocks the toothpaste off the toothbrush into the bowl. Who's ever had that happen before? Who finds that annoying? I find that slightly annoying. So Sheila, what does Sheila do? Sheila turns on the tap. She washes away the toothpaste. She gets fresh toothpaste. What does Kristen do? Scoop it up. We don't care if someone else has been shaving in the bowl. We'll have hairy teeth for the rest of the day because we're men. All the fellas in the place say we're men. Louder say we're men. Everybody say number two. If a girl is in church right now, so let's pick on a lady. Pat is at the back. Pat is thinking to herself, I've been jumping too hard. I gotta go pee pee. She puts her hand up. She says, Linz, can I go pee pee please? I'm like, yeah, Pat, of course you can. I guarantee she'll turn to the mum. Two of them go off to the toilet. You do not see John turn to Colin and say, yo, Colin, you want to come pee-pee with me? Because boys don't do that. Everybody say number three. If a girl is driving down a street and a cat jumps in front of her car, a girl will trash her car. That's a badass tat, that. You see that? A girl will trash her car, try not to kill that cat. Paul is driving down the street. You do the same. Oh. You big girl. My dad's driving down the street. This would definitely happen. My dad's driving down the street and a cat jumps in front of his car. He will trash his car trying to kill that sucker. Why? Because boys and girls are different. Everybody said number four. If a girl is in church now, Beth Court is in church now, and she sneezes, give her a round of applause to Beth for Friday night. She did well, didn't she? And Beth sneezes in class. Apsh! Beth will do the right thing. She'll screw it up in a tissue and she will throw it away. Tim sat behind them, my brother there, sits there in class, in our church, sorry, and he sneezes. Ah! Starts pushing the boogers round, playing noughts and crosses, and then what does he do? He wipes his hands down. Why are you laughing, Mark? I see the white track marks down the front of your trousers right there. You see, each and every single one of us has a choice. Those four things are choices. Grab your fist, punch the air, say, I have a choice. Look at the person next to you, say, you have a choice. Look at me, say, we have a choice. Good job. So when we go into schools, we've had this amazing week this week in schools. And we talk about choices. Now, it's really simple. By the end of the week, we give the young people who are in here right now a choice of either saying, yeah, God, I want to give you a high five, bam. Or actually, do you know what? maybe I'll leave it. Maybe I'll find something else out. Maybe I'll go along to the explore group that we're going to start, or maybe I'm going to come along to church and kind of experience it. But there's still a choice there. So some of these guys in here on Friday night made a choice for the first time to say, do you know what, God? I want to know you. Bam. Give him a high five. I want to be your friend. They've opened up the door of their heart and they want to become friends with him. Give him a round of applause for that. Now, the hardest thing to do is for you guys to actually keep coming to church and stay in church. Now, picture this. You're at Man United. Now, I live up in Manchester now, and I can hear the grounds from where we live, and we drive into town. You see all the fans, all that kind of stuff. If you go to church every Sunday, you go to a United game every Saturday afternoon, you stand there singing for your team, so you're singing for whoever's on the pitch. After a while, if you're on your Jack Jones, I know Mark would love this for about 2 weeks. He'd be like that. Because he's a United fan. After about 2 weeks, it's going to get pretty boring, isn't it? Because you're going to be there on your own, no one around encouraging you. The reason, guys, that we come to church is because there's other people around you. This is one big family. Everyone say, we're family. This is one big family that's cheering along with you guys, cheering along the team. So if you come out of here or come out of the Friday night gig and you just carry on saying, yeah, do you know what? I've made a commitment in here, as in I've given God a high five. I want to be his mate. But you don't start going to some kind of church. It's like going to United every Saturday and just standing in there on your own. After a while, you're going to be like, there's not much to this. So the reason I come to church is because you've got other people supporting the same team. You've got other people that are pushing you and encouraging you and saying, yo, are you coming to this youth group? Are you coming to the next LZ7 gig? Are you coming to church on Sunday? Because once you've made that step, you need to keep going with the step. Does that make sense? Good job. Okay. We'll do another song for you. It's called Ditto. Turn to the person next to you and say, I love you. Now turn back to the person and say, Ditto. Everybody standing up on your feet. Now this takes a little bit of audience participation. Colin, just come here for a sec. You have to grab the person next to you, put your arm over his shoulder, dad over Tony, like that. Put your arm over his shoulder, and then you just rock out like this, as if the sun's out, you're in Cali with your system turned up, you grab John Colin. This is called Ditto, let's go. Everybody say Ditto, Ditto, Ditto. You got it going on, you need to take your seats. Now, there's a bit in the Bible. Let me just get my Bible over here. Where's it gone? What do I do with it? Is it over by the speaker? Okay. Everybody put your hand in the air like this and say, Bibles, Bibles. You see, the Bible, like we said in school, the Bible is a what? A what? A manual to life, right? So in the Bible, there's loads and loads of different stuff. Now, a lot of people look at the Bible and they're kind of like, what the heck? I reckon the Bible's probably a little bit more than that, like we've told you guys. Now, there's a bit in the Bible that says, and this is why we wrote Ditto, because it's all about love, isn't it? It's all about spreading a little bit of love. Right? There's a bit in the Bible in Romans 8 that says, do you know what? I need someone to come read this. Nick, come read this. No, it's because when I sweat, I can't see anything. Nick, have you got your mic?
No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
You see, so when we come into schools and we talk to you guys about loving each other, about Ditto, that's what that song's based on. It's about a God that loves you for being you, just the way you are. Now, I had the privilege of getting a new car. This was about 5 or 6 years ago, right? And this was, I mean, it wasn't new, but it was new to me. And talk about exhibit on Pimp My Ride. This was gangster. Everyone say gangster. Like, it was sick, right? It wasn't blue. It wasn't purple. It was purple. And it was a Golf GTI. So when you looked at it one way, it looked blue. You looked at the other, it was like pearlescent. I was such a chav. It's unbelievable. And I had it for 8 days. I'll tell you the story why. And picture that I backed this perfect car up here on stage right now. Perfect. I've T-cut it. My dad used to teach me how to T-cut. And then I'd do it and then he'd have to go over it about 4 or 5 times after because we'd done a bad job. Me and Dan. And I've T-cut it. I've pimped out the wheels. And the wheels, now check this. Everybody go, ooh, after this, right? 20-inch rims. 10 CD disc changer. Blacked out windows in the back. Lowered. Neon lights underneath. You don't have to go, ooh, about that at all. Don't worry about it. So imagine I've got it. I've backed it up on stage right here. Now imagine that each and every single one of us, imagine that's us, this gorgeous car. So God in the beginning creates us to be perfect. He creates us to be, in the beginning, created us to be perfect. But it's like us, as in, we got a few things that are wrong with us. We do some silly stuff, you know, and we kick out a little bit of exhaust, but We're looking good. Everyone say, I'm looking good. Dust your shoulders off. Good job. Now, imagine I've got this car up on a stage. Now, this car is a little bit like us. Now, as we go through life, stuff happens, doesn't it? You know, I remember I said in school, life's a bit of a roller coaster, yeah? So let's say something happens. I don't know. Someone comes up and bullies you in school. It's a bit like a baseball bat or a sledgehammer going, bam, straight into the top of the car. And then someone comes up and says, well, actually, you're pretty rubbish at whatever it is you do. Bam, there's another sledgehammer through the car. Someone comes up and says, yo, take a drag of this fag. Bam, that's another sledgehammer through the car because you know that you shouldn't be doing it. Someone comes up and they give you a hard time about something to do with work. Smash, the sunroof goes through. Start kicking in the rear lights and start booting in the door. By the end of it, we can end up feeling like just a little bit written off, can't we? A little bit like someone's given us that much of a hard time, or life has thrown so much rubbish at us that we can end up feeling a little bit written off, like this old car, and a bit worthless and a bit invaluable and a bit kind of like no one's really interested in us. There's a bit in the Bible that says that if you're in Christ, that means if you're mates with God, as in if you've prayed that prayer that you did on Friday, the old has gone, the new has come. It's literally like the RAC comes along, tows off that bad old car, gets rid of all the knackeredness, and along comes a £50,000 Bentley. No, Bentleys are way more than that. £250,000 Bentley Vantage comes up, and he's like, he gives you a brand new start. You see, he says, I can take everything. He says, he takes all your naff stuff, all the silly stuff you've ever thought, said, and done, which is called sin. It's a bit of an old school word. And he throws it as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? Pretty far, right? That's forever. So he takes it all away. He says, if you're mates with me, I'm going to wipe your slate clean. Everybody say clean. So I reckon that you guys that prayed that on Friday night, that when you said, God, I want to be your mate. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for me. Thank you that he stood in my place. Because of what Jesus did, your slate is completely wiped clean. You're like a brand new Bentley Vantage right now. Give yourself a round of applause for that. Now, when you've got a brand new Bentley Vantage, the last thing you want to be doing, Rob is a massive fan of Bentley Vantages, right? Rob's the drummer. If you got a Bentley, the last thing you want to be doing is smacking it up, isn't it? The last thing you want to do is put a big gash down the side of it. The last thing you want to do is stab the tires. The last thing you want to do is knacker this Bentley that you've been given, yeah? Now, once you've stepped into that relationship with God, that's a bit like that. The last thing you want to do is knacker the relationship, as in, the last thing you want to do is kind of like do stuff that you know is going to write you off again. Does that make sense? Now, people are going to give you a hard time. You're going to go back into school and you'll be like, oh yeah, I came to church on Sunday. And like, you geek. What's going on? Why did you do that? Why are you doing this? Now, I just got one thing to say to you. It's better to stand for something rather than fall for everything that's out there. You see, life's going to chuck a load of rubbish your way. It's going to try and write you off. But there's bits in the Bible that says that God, in God, like Nick just said, we are more than conquerors. That means we can take it. It's almost as if there's a sheen on the car that just goes boink, and it bounces off because we're bulletproof. You heard that song, Bulletproof, yeah? Bulletproof, as in God has given us an armor that he says if you put the armor on, it's not like physical armor, but you put this armor on, he says it can protect you because you're in God. Now, that doesn't mean that someone comes up to you and gives you a hard time and says, you're rubbish at that. It's not going to hurt. Of course it's going to hurt. But you can go back to the manual and you can read it and you can say, nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. No matter what anybody does, no matter what anybody says, God's always going to love me for being me. God's always going to accept me for being me. No matter what the world chucks at me, no matter what my mates say to me, no matter what happens in my life, because of what Jesus did when he died on the cross, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Does that make sense to you guys? Good job. So, thank you. There's loads of stuff that we kind of cover when we go to schools, and this is for the River Church lot, right? When we go into prisons and stuff, we get lots of young people coming up to us and saying, well, look, this is what I've done. You know, I've done the most heinous of crimes. I'm in here for 20 years or whatever, and I'm going to do 10. And I look at them and I just say, do you know what? I think in there it just says, oh yeah, it really does. It says nothing can separate you from God. Absolutely nothing. Now, the point is that when you've got the Bentley, that's the trying bit. When you've got the new start, that's where the trying comes. Because it means that when you become a Christian, you might have to try to not do the stuff that knackered you in the first place. So for some of you, for me, right, when I became a Christian, the biggest thing that had to change in me was my language. Bad boy. Used to swear all the time. Used to be giving it all this F's and Jeff's and stuff and punching people on football pitches and all that kind of stuff. That was when I was a Christian. Hang on a minute, what's going on? But you know what? God still loved me. And the one thing I had to kind of change, and that was the one thing that I really, really had to work on. I really had to say, God, you know what? Every time I swear, every time I say something stupid or wrong or diss my dad or anything like that, it's like a scratch goes on my car. God, I'm going to try not to do it. And God comes along with a teacup and he goes, because of Jesus, it's gone. It's going to disappear. It's never going to be there. I'm never going to remember it. I'm never going to remember that. And that would inspire me to try not to do it in the future. Does that make sense to you guys? Yeah? To the guys that might not understand it. It's almost like you try because you're loved. You try because God loves you first. Because he sent Jesus to die on the cross. Even if there's only one of you on the planet, Jesus still would have died on the cross. Jesus still would have had to have done it because God's perfect. So God said, well, someone takes the punishment. And because he did it first, because he came and took the punishment for us, we can then go, I'm going to try to live my life the way you want me to, God. Do you remember I said that at the end of the prayer? I said, God, I give you a high five. I turn my back on the wrong things I've done. I'm going to try and turn 180. I'm going to try not to do them again. I'm going to try to live my life the way that you want me to. But at the same time, when you mess it up, God's still going to say, I love you anyway. That's why Jesus died. Everybody standing up on your feet, right? We're just going to do this little exercise. Alex, come here, mate. Alex, come here. Alex is my boy from Cox Green. And I gave him a bit of a jibe about both of us looking like Jedward. And so what I want to do is, can everybody say faith? Faith. Now, faith in the Bible, it says, is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you can't see. So, do me a favor, close your eyes and sit down on your chair right now. Now, Colin, were you sure that that chair was there when you sat down? You were, because you had what? Faith. He used a little bit of faith to go, someone hasn't whipped my chair right now, I hope. I believe it's still there. So that's faith. So you use it all the time. Now, let's try this one, right? Everybody stand up and get a partner. And everyone turn and face that wall over there. Face the clock. Number yourself, number one and number two. Number one is in front of you. Number two is behind. Kristen, you probably need to find someone. You just need to be in pairs. In pairs. So find yourself a pair. There you go. You're in a three. Kind of doesn't work in a three. You kind of need a pair. So, Lydia, do you want to just come on here? So you two. So number one's in front, number two's at the back. Okay, so this is called the faith game. Number twos who are behind the number ones are going to take one step backwards. So that you are over arm's width away. Now, this is called exercising your faith. After three, everyone's going to close their eyes and number one is going to fall into the arms of number two. Are you ready? One. Good job. Now turn. Turn and face the other way. Number two is going to fall into the arms of number one. Three, two, one, fall. Oh my goodness. Give your partner a round of applause. Go and sit down. Thanks, mate. You can grab your seats. So Lewis and George over here are the perfect example of what not to do. Lewis is stood there and he goes, I'm just going to drop him. Bam. Psh, straight down. We played that game in prison and it's one of the funniest experiences I've ever seen in my life because the lad decided to move and my mate, who's a little bit top heavy, ran across the back of the church backwards like this, trying not to fall over, and then went straight into all the communion wine and dashed it everywhere. I was crying. Everyone else was crying as well. Anyway, that's not the point of the talk. Faith. It's being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you can't see. It's a bit like God. You can't see God. I can't get him to walk in and go, what's up, River? But what you can do is that you can experience God like Colin was just talking about at the front. He said, some of you guys are going to stand here and I want you just to receive from God. That means that you believe by faith that God can come and talk to you. That he can not come and talk to you as in go, what, in your ear. Sometimes he does. But that God's going to actually give you that peace that he says, I've got. He's actually going to let you know that you're loved. That when you stand there and you're kind of going, oh, do you know what? I don't quite understand this, but I'm going to use that word faith to believe that you exist, God, and that you can come and knock on the door of my heart, that you can come and live in here. Alex sent me a Facebook message this week and he said, do you know what? Thanks for letting God come and live in my heart. That's what it's all about. You open up the door of your heart and you say, God, come and live in here. Come and reside in me. Come and live in me. Come and shine out of me. You know, a song, Little Light of Mine, it's all about you shining your light. It's all about the light shining out of you. But firstly, you've got to get the light to come and live in here first. There's a verse in the Bible that says that you are the light of the world. Say me. So you are the light of the world. There's another bit in the Bible where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You see, you've got to get the I am, as in Jesus, to come and live in here first so that you can shine out. Does that make sense? So that Jesus can shine out of you. So that when you start making those decisions that are going to change your life, as in you're not going to knacker your car anymore, you're not going to do silly things to mess your car up, that's you shining. So that's Jesus shining through you. That's the I am coming through you. Because you can't do it on your own. Sometimes it's going to be tough. Sometimes you're going to be like, oh man, I really want to smoke that fag, or I really want to go and get hammered, or I really want to go and do this and I want to do that, that you know is going to scratch your car. That's the time where the I am, as in Jesus, is going to help you, because you say, do you know what, God? I know this is going to be bad for me. Can you help me? I guarantee you, I'll come and help you. I guarantee there'll be something where you'll go, before you'd have gone, oh, that was fate. Why didn't that happen? That was a coincidence. I guarantee that this time you'll be going, that was God looking out for me. Oh, my days. Because you won't need to put it down to fate anymore. There's a song that we do that's called The Greatest Day. Everyone say, Greatest Day. And there's a dude in the Bible called Paul. And Paul was walking down a road once. I'm just going to abbreviate you for the guys that know their Bible. Paul was walking down a road once, and he was persecuting Christians. That means he was beating them up and burning them and giving them a hard time because of what they believed, right? And because he said that what you're doing is wrong and it's false. And God blinded him. And he went, man, put scales on his eyes. Now, it wasn't until a few days later where Paul was still blinded that God literally turned the lights on. It's almost as if this place went bink, and then suddenly went boom, and you go from black and white into full HD color. The Greatest Day is written all about that time. You see, Friday night for some of you guys was going to be your greatest day. That would be the time where God changed your destiny. Where God said, do you know what? You were going this way, but guess what? You're now going this way. That's the greatest day. So you can listen to it. You can come and mosh if you want, Alice, because it's one of those. But everyone standing up on your feet. I want to see you bouncing and celebrating the day that you first said, do you know what, God, I'm going to give you a high five. I want to be a friend. Now, it's a bit of a kind of bouncy up and down. Now, boys, if you do want to come mosh, you come mosh down the front here. I'm well up for that. That is wicked. If you don't, just stay there. But just grab your seats real quick. What I want to do is I want to intro Rob. I want to get Rob to tell you his story, because I normally say that we found Rob underneath some newspaper in the middle of Manchester. We didn't. But Rob, I saw him when I was DJing at a gig, and Rob came on with this band and suddenly started playing. And before he come in the church, had all been smoking weed and probably high a little bit. And he came on, he ripped his shirt off in the middle of the set. And I just thought, what a chump. Like, I was like, who is this guy? Not realizing that God had a massive plan for this dude. And I think he's got a massive plan for Rob and for what he has to say. So just give him a big round of applause for us.
All right. Cheers, mate. Basically, just give me a minute. That's a bit of a kind of upbeat song to be speaking directly after. Bit out of breath. But basically, just like Lynn said, like, in the kind of family I grew up in, I'd never been to church when I was younger. Like, the only times I ever came to church were, like, weddings or funerals. And I'd never really even thought about God. And I'll just give you a quick little background story. A lot of you guys have already heard this story, so just bear with me. Nice one. So, basically, my dad was an absolutely amazing drummer back in the 70s. He went on world tours. He absolutely, you know, lived that kind of lifestyle. Absolutely loved it. Until while he was in his prime, he got diagnosed with a disease called multiple sclerosis. And basically what that means is it affects the way the brain passes messages to the muscles. His muscles started eating themselves. And, all the nerve endings started breaking down. It causes intense pain, like, every single second of every day. And the only thing that he found that helped with the pain, which is what a lot of other MS sufferers found, was smoking weed. So that was the kind of environment I was raised in. That was the norm for me. And, so I used to hear the stories of him going on tour and, you know, all that. And all that time, the only thing I've ever wanted to do is be a drummer. That's the only thing I've ever wanted to do all the way through my life. And at first, he was like, not a chance. You need proper thick skin. It's a very fickle industry, very cutthroat. And he didn't want that lifestyle for me. But by the time I was 13, I managed to convince him I was deadly serious about it. I wasn't just joking about. And he started teaching me. But also at 13, like, if I had, like, son and, like, the kind of friend group I was hanging around with at the time, I started going down the whole weed kind of route. And by the time I was 15, me and my mates were selling it in high school in Manchester, and I was just making a lot of stupid choices. And at the time, it was like, yeah, this is sick, you know, but even then, I knew that this wasn't the best plan for my life. You know, this wasn't like, I wasn't getting the best out of it. I thought at the time I was having fun, you know, I was doing this, but obviously, ups and downs, depression, blah, blah, blah. And I went to college, and it kind of progressed, went on to other drugs, and just, I was just really just getting random bits of trouble here, there, and everywhere. And I managed to get accepted to uni. I went to Salford Uni doing music, and while I was on the course, I met this amazing bassist, proper, like, soul funk gospel bassist, and he was in LZ7, and he saw the potential in me, he saw the choices I was making, he didn't want me to throw that potential away. And basically said, you know what, I've got this band, they need a drummer, do you want to come down and learn the set? I was like, yeah, man, why not? He was like, well, they're a Christian band, would you have any issue with that? I was like, nah, man, not at all. And obviously, in the back of my head, had a massive prejudice thinking this is going to be like a band full of Ned Flanders singing hymns. And so I went down, met Linz, met all the guys for the first time, absolutely loved it. You know, these guys that were just, you know, proper on it, proper positive, just confident. And at the time I was like, you know what, I could really do with a bit of that, because I wasn't the most confident of people. And basically went down, did the first gig, loved it. And Linz started saying, you know, I heard him talking about a God that loved me for being me, and had a plan for my life. And at first, you know, I was thinking, yeah, that's cool, but I didn't really kind of know where it sat at the time. And he started saying, do you want to come to church? And I was like, at first, a bit kind of skeptical, a bit kind of dubious. And we went to this nice, I eventually said, yeah. We went to this church in Manchester called Ivy. And it was just, expecting it to be like proper hard seats and just like bare boring. But like, it was actually pretty live. There was just a really good worship band, this quality gospel drummer. And this guy got up and he started answering a lot of those questions that I had about God. He gave a really good speech, and he just, all these questions, and everything started falling into place. And I started comparing, like, I did a lot of comparison of, like, my life at the time compared to what it could be, you know what I mean? And basically, for that first year, I was struggling with it. I was really battling with it, these two kind of worlds just colliding. And, we went around, I did gigs, like, kind of just as a freelance musician for that first year. And we went back exactly a year later to the first place I did the gig I did first with them, the same venue. And we were praying before this gig, and like Linz had said, like in my other bands, before we went on stage, we used to get high or get drunk or whatever. And in LZ7, before we go on stage, we pray. So it was a complete flip up in my head, but I went along with it out of respect. And we were praying before this gig, and I just couldn't deny that there was a God that loved me for being me. And the kind of battle between these two worlds, like, this side had won, you know what I mean? So basically, I just couldn't deny it. I grabbed Linz and said, mate, I want to do it. I want to pray the prayer. I want to become a Christian. And we went off to this other room, and I prayed this little prayer, which goes, Lord, I'm sorry for those stupid things I've done. I thank you for sending Jesus, and I want you to come and live in my heart and help me make better choices in the future. And like I say in school, do you reckon the second that I prayed that prayer, my dad got healed of MS, and life was easy, and nothing bad ever happened again? No, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. You know what? We never get that in Manchester. Down here, everyone's like, yeah, come on now. But like in Manchester, it's always like, no. But no, that didn't happen. But basically, what it does mean, I've got the faith to keep praying that it is in God's plan that my dad gets healed. But also in the meantime, when I think personally, I believe Jesus died on the cross for all that rubbish stuff we've ever thought, said and done, that influences me to want to make better choices in the future. So that's basically about it.
Good job, mate. So, one of the reasons we get Rob to kind of tell his testimony, one, because he was going one way and then he's changed and become another way. That bit in a song where you say, then he came along and turned my lights on, changed my direction like a tom-tom. LZ7 is a little bit like a tom-tom. As in, we're kind of sat-naving you guys to God and saying, look, this is the direction to go. This is the way that you need to go. And you guys, I just wanted to say thank you so much for standing with us, because monthly you guys have given to us and given to LZ and yearly given us some money. And these guys here, to be fair, the guys that are in school and Rob, are the result of you guys helping us out. So thank you very much for doing that. But I just wanted to say that when Rob gives his testimony, the reason we talk about his testimony is because he's still going through some stuff with his family. Some of you guys are going through similar stuff. Now, it doesn't have to be that your mum and dad are ill. It could be that something else is going on, that you've got an illness yourself, that there's stuff in your life that you could say, well, actually, it's ruining my Bentley. It's ruining my slate. It's ruining me. I still think that God's bothered about you. He's still interested in you. And no matter what you go through, no matter what it chucks at you, whatever life chucks at you, God is still going to be standing by your side, because you said, I want to be mates with God. I open up my heart to him. So Rob then said, and Rob's viewpoint has totally changed. Before, he was just like, oh yeah, my dad's got MS, it's bad. Now he's full of faith saying, let's pray for my dad. I want to pray for my dad. I believe that he can get healed. Now, even if Rob's dad doesn't get healed, it's not going to rock Rob's faith, because Rob has said, actually, I'd rather go through the rubbish with God than without him. Does that make sense? So that's a choice for each and every single one of us. Now that could be for your hard-nailed Christians that have been here for years. That could also be for you guys that have just stepped into church for the first time or stepped to River for the first time. Going through life, the roller coaster without God doesn't compare to going through the roller coaster with God. See, he said you'll start again. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing. You got to try because you don't want to mess up the Bentley. And that's the kind of responsibility that we have. And that's why we say, I have a choice, because the choices you make are going to have an impact. But that's where God can come and inspire you. That's where God can come and change your direction like a tom-tom through the manual. Does that make sense to you guys? Good job. Now, I'm just going to, we tried this, where's my thing? We tried this a gig the other day. And I'm just going to spit this, and it's a bit of a kind of flowetry thing. And I just want you to listen to the words. And then, for some of you in here, this is a time for you to respond. It's a time for you guys to put your hand up again and say, yeah, do you know what? I really want to cement that foundation that I made on Friday. I want to cement. When you prayed that prayer, you prayed a prayer that went, oh, yeah, wicked, into your heart. And we want to cement it and say, yeah, I really meant that. And I'm going to carry on with this. So this is for you guys. This is for guys in here that have also actually might be slipping away. And you're kind of, you know that your tom-tom's taking you somewhere else. And you've been miles away from God and you're miles off. And this is time for you guys to come back to Jesus and say, do you know what? Nothing can separate me from your love because of what Jesus did on the cross. Thank you so much. So just listen to this for a sec and then we'll pray. To be a survivor in this amazing race with a need for speed, you need God's grace. And if you're desperate like housewives watching CSI, you can't cope without hope that's not found in a soap. If you're looking at Oprah or Dr. Phil, you could shop nonstop, you could pop a pill, but that won't feel... But the void won't fill and the paint won't kill till you love the one that died on the hill. Kick him back in your lazy boy easy chair. Watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Nah, you ain't going to find it there. No American Idol or Simon Cowell is the final answer that will satisfy you. 24 ain't got a clue. As for you, you don't know what to do. As for Hollyoaks or Glee, you see, nothing on a TV, CD, DVD or MP3 can save you and me. BBC ain't got no good news, but here's a headline for you. You got to choose. It's not a simple life, Paris Hilton. It's treading on thin ice, this life we live in. You better check this life that you've been given and make sure that your sins are forgiven. But I bet you 50 pence your life just came and went. Every Black Eyed Peas, Gwen Stefani, P. Diddy, Britney and wannabe on MTV with an icy bling. And every done up chick that sings, they're all going to see the King of Kings. I don't care if you're J-Lo, Bono or Cheryl Cole. There's one thing you got to know. Someday you're going to die, bro. Then where you going to go? Hey, I'm not talking about some junk-up punk that's irrelevant like your grandma's church from way back when. This is the real superstar is Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. One day, he's going to split the sky. He's the brightest light and the highest high. So what I came to say and what I'm telling you, don't buy the other stuff that they be selling you. It's all designed to fill your head and waste your space until you're dead. Here's the bottom line of my rhyme. Jesus stood in the middle between God and me when he hung and died up on a tree. Give your life to God while there's still time. In the kind of sense that we've been worshipping and the kind of atmosphere that's in here of, you guys have been amazing, by the way. You guys have done so well so far. Can we get the worship band up, Tina? Can you come up and sort of lead us in a bit of stuff? And Rob, get up here, mate. Just get these guys, and it's not kind of an airy-fairy time where we're just going to go, okay, let's get all spiritual. That's not what the point is. This is time for you guys to go, okay, where do I stand now? You made a choice on Friday night. Some of you guys need to make another choice tonight, today. You made a choice on Friday night, and now you're thinking, okay, I get it. Or sometimes you might be thinking, maybe I don't. Or maybe you just want someone to come and pray for you, for the situations that you're going through. Just going to let the guys play just a little bit and maybe sing some stuff that's just a kind of time for you guys to reflect and go, where do I stand on this? I gave God a high five, and I want to be his mate. I want him to open up the door of my heart. I want him to come and live in. I want the lights to come on in my life. I want God to come and impact my life. I want him to come and give me a brand new Bentley Vantage. I want him to help me not to scratch up that Vantage, to not mess up my life, because I want to live my life the way that he wants me to. So just be thinking now as we...